Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game, so just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back.
All right, all you positive heads. Well, I am not Brandon Beecham, if you haven't guessed yet, but you might recognize my voice if you've been listening to this show for the last year or so. My name's Erica Middlemiss, and I've been co-hosting with Brandon here and there over the last year. And I first started exactly a year ago this week. And so while Brandon is away on a work trip, I am going to be handling the business. And lucky for me, I have a lot of amazing help. Today, I have my partner with me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Brian Anthony Phoenix.
Hello, everyone. Hello, all you positive heads out there. Super stoked to be here. Really, really happy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I brought Brian on with me today because Brian is a sound healer. And we just had an amazing weekend at One Love Festival out in Lake Paris, California. Uh-huh.
We're still here. We're still at the lake.
We are still here. We haven't quite left yet. We can see it right over there. It's a beautiful day, getting a little warm. But our lovely, beloved co-host Brandon was here also. Mm-hmm. And we actually got to participate in a sound bath and healing with Brandon and his beautiful son, Bradley, and the beautiful Karis, who was co-hosting with Brandon last week.
Yeah, it was special.
Yes.
That was great. It was really sweet to meet them in person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good people.
Lots of good people here.
Uh-huh.
It's an amazing event. So next year, you guys are all going to have to come on out and say hi to us because we will be here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go into Instagram and check out the hashtag One Love Fest or One Love Festival. I think there's also One Love Festival 2017, but One Love Fest seemed to be the one with the most tags. But lots of cool pictures, lots of cool things going on. Yeah, it really came together.
It did. Beautiful event.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Brian, I want you to tell us a little bit about sound healing and why you got into it in the first place.
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite things to talk about. I was a musician. I'll preface this by saying is that I was always musical, right? And my journey started when I was a young child, as most of us have started that journey there, with, you know, creative expression specifically. And when I was like sixth grade, I was in chorus. I mean, I did plays and musicals and stuff. And sixth grade specifically, I was in chorus. And one of the things when I was in sixth grade is I could hit notes higher than the girls could. And I was like super stoked about that. In fact, me and my other friend Daniel, we had like the highest voices in the chorus, and like we thought that was awesome until someone who wasn't so nice told us it wasn't awesome. You know, and after that I actually stopped singing really very much, except to myself, right? I did play in the band for a couple years during middle school, I just kind of lost touch, though. That faded out, and then eventually I wasn't really doing much music at all. And what happened is that I just randomly picked up a guitar because I was surrounded by all these musicians, you know, when I ended up going to community college, and it just re-sparked that thing. And I was sitting in a crowd, like a room of, it was like this party that I didn't know anyone, and I just had my guitar, and I started playing and singing, and all of a sudden, like, I look up and people are staring at me, and I'm like, what are you staring at? And they're like, you have a nice voice, you know? Because I hadn't shared my voice since I was, you know, with people, at least that much, since I, you know, since I was young. So that really started that path. And what happened to me was really interesting, because I knew around that point that I wanted to help people. When I first picked up that guitar, in some way, you know, I wasn't really thinking necessarily with the music, but immediately once I started playing music, I found myself in situations where I would be playing for a person or a crowd of people, and it was just like medicine for them. You know, just like randomly, like me and my friend would have our guitar at the beach. And when we first started writing music, it was really powerful, like really just like, and it was just outpourings of emotion. And we just like, just, you know, blasted people with it, you know, not like hardcore, but just it hit people. And some people would just be like, whoa, you know, that was really amazing. Like, I really, like, it, I felt that. And I really just saw what music was doing to people in that way. You know, unfortunately, I spent many years, I was in the middle of, you know, really trying to find my way. And I was dealing a lot with addiction and alcoholism. And so, that is a big part of my story, and I was kind of like weaving in and out of offering my music to the world and kind of just being caught up in that. So what I'll say is that fast forward, after getting sober and becoming a singer-songwriter, more in my creative input and more authentically and more of it pouring out of me and seeing more of that effect that music had on people, again, found myself at a crossroads where I was working for a corporate sales job, and I was just like, I was just fed up. I was like, I need to do something with my life, you know. And fortunately, I was as soon as I put out the intention of I need to do something, I started getting these messages about music, you know, the music I was offering, and doing some kind of healing. You know, I always wanted to do some sort of healing. I had kind of dabbled in energy work a little bit in certain instances, just kind of accidentally throughout my life. I was aware of this greater power to just heal. And yet I wasn't, you know, I wasn't able to root that and really explore it. Soon as I put out the intention for sound healing, it's just like all the stuff came at me. And specifically this book that was written by my then future teacher, Fabien Mamon. And Fabien is one of the founding fathers of vibrational sound therapy. And he has an academy down south called the Tomado Academy of Sound, Color, and Movement. And I ended up calling them and an instant connection, and I did their program. I studied 2 years with them, two separate summers over in Switzerland for their first and second level sound healing practitioner certification. And yeah, that was like super profound. I mean, the first time I touched a tuning fork and felt the human body react to it. And Fabien has these amazing, you know, scientific experiments he did back in the 80s. That's a part of his book where it shows the sympathetic resonance, which I'll talk about later, you know, how acoustic sound affects the cells. And I was just like, oh my goodness, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. Mm. And after Tomado, I started also exploring plant medicines. I actually worked with ayahuasca through several ceremonies, and through those ceremonies, I got initiated by the medicine, by source, and by the facilitators into a greater understanding of like the shamanic aspect of offering sound in a healing way. You know, they have the Icaros, and when you're in that space, just sound is so, you can just understand at such a depth how it affects us. Yeah, so that's really what's led me up to this point. I've had these kind of gates that I've walked through since setting that intention, and now I just continue to get like these downloads of how we can use this amazing medicine.
It is medicine.
Yeah.
Music is medicine. And most of us, like what you just said about it resonating within the cells, most of us can feel that, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, songs can make us cry. They can light us up. They can make us want to dance. They can do so many things. Sound is the most beautiful medicine that I know of. And you said something there that really caught my attention, which was when you were younger and someone kind of, you know, put you down about your voice. And so you stopped singing there for a while.
Yeah.
And that led you to develop something else now that you're doing, which is related to that. And I actually got to personally experience this. So Brian does some vocal empowerment workshops. Mm-hmm. And he led one at the Eclipse of Disclosure event mm-hmm. that was up in Mount Shasta during the eclipse.
Where we met, yes.
and you know, I was absolutely terrified when he told me that I had to use my voice, believe it or not, with this microphone in front of my face talking to thousands of you right now. I was like, you mean you want me to like sing like out loud, like by myself, like in front of people? I have to what? And so that, and I think a lot of us can relate to this, losing our voice somewhere along the line. So can we talk about that a little bit? What's your experience there?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's such an important thing. And you know, as Don Miguel Ruiz puts it in his material, you know, we go through domestication as human beings. And that's just part of the earth school, right? Unfortunately, our particular society does a lot to squash the creative process very early on. And super big props to the parents and communities that work hard to deprogram and change that, you know, and to honor that creative expression. But we have such a, we're such a talent society. And so it's like, if you don't show immediate talent in something, oftentimes you're going to be told by your peers, by maybe even your parents, you know, mm-hmm. your siblings, maybe even your teachers, mm-hmm. you know, I've heard teachers just be like, don't draw anymore. You're
not good. That's not for you. You're not good. Yeah.
And the vocal piece, it's so from what I've come to learn and understand, the fifth chakra, the voice, stores the information regarding our creative expression. And anytime any of us were told not to express ourselves, whether it was drawing, whether it was using our voice or even just speaking our truth, anything like that, like that created an energetic block that we now store in that chakra. And that's also, you know, and it is attached with other energy centers, because that could also be attached with the fear of, you know, we might have had that beaten out of us. So there's like a survival thing. Like if we express ourselves the way that we want to, we might die or mm-hmm. get hurt. And so some of it's like really intense fear because of that. And the fear of abandonment from social structures, you know. So it's a really important understanding, I think, for everyone to you know, take a look at where was it in our history that we were told not to express ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And because all that information is stored, and that leads to, you know, physical changes in our voice. So a lot of us are not using the voice that we were born to use. And what I like to try to really tell people in my work is that, I mean, we were all born with such a unique voice. It never has existed. It doesn't exist other than you right now, and it never will exist. It is a very unique voice, because the vocal cords, a human voice, produces all these overtones. There's several tones going on at one point in time, and that code, that specific set of tones, is unique to your vocal cords. And so what happens when we get this energetic information stored in that area is that it changes the vibration of our throat. So we can either be like really high and like really kind of like really anxious, and our voice is high, it's up in our head and our throat, and we just like, it's, you know, it just kind of like, it's like nails on chalkboard, like every time we're talking and in to us, like, and we can feel it, right? Or it's like really disempowered, and there's not, I don't want to speak too loud, and it's, you know, it doesn't have this gravitas behind it, as Stuart Pierce talks about. So Yeah, it's very important that it's not just about vocal expression, but it's also about any time we're told creatively to not express ourselves. All that stuff is stored right there, and it changes the frequency of our voice.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, for me, I remember when I was told this exact moment in my life. So my brother and I used to love to sing, just mess around at dinner. And at some point, we were told there's no singing at the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
We were chastised for having fun and singing when it was time for the family to get together and enjoy ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
No singing.
Right.
And I never realized it until I did this vocal empowerment workshop with you, how much that actually affected my throat chakra.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And not just singing, but just using my voice to even speak the truth, mm-hmm. always. Or just how I feel, mm-hmm. truthfully how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a wonderful thing when we do eventually kind of come to that understanding. And it's such an important thing to come to a realization about regarding, because the sound, again, is such a potent medicine. And we're basically carrying a tool of healing, mm-hmm. with us.
Yes.
And so when we have the opportunity to start reprogramming the stuff that's keeping that from expressing itself naturally, what happens is that we can start using it intentionally in very powerful ways. And even just talking, you know, speaking our truth, like, mm-hmm. it heals just, mm-hmm. doing that.
Yes. Because really, what we all are, what are we? We are vibrational energy patterns,
exactly.
And that's it. And how harmonically do those patterns flow throughout our chakras and throughout our bodies, throughout, yeah. all our secondary and tertiary systems?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you never know, you know, what I'd like to do is speak a little bit about, for those who aren't quite maybe attuned to, like, why sound is so, you know, mm-hmm. important. Like,
yes.
what are the mechanisms at work? I do want to speak to that, but I just want to say one thing too about the creative expression is that it's like, you never know what kind of medicine not only you're going to bring to yourself, but others. There was this woman at Mount Shasta that told me about when she became vocally active, like she just... It just happened, like, through her spiritual process of all of a sudden her voice just opened up and she was riding the bike down the street and just singing. She started singing the song "Don't Dam Up the River of Life," kind of just ecstatic expression. And she pulls up to this place where she's riding her bike to, just singing, not hooking up the bike, like not paying attention. And as she starts walking towards a building, this guy approaches her and he's like, "Excuse me, miss, I just wanted to say thank you." And she's like, "What for what?" And she's like, he's like, "I was sitting here contemplating whether or not I should continue in like this dead end corporate sales job that's killing me, or if I should pursue my music full time. And when I heard you roll up with your bike and just singing and just having fun, I just knew that's what I was supposed to do."
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Like, yes. You never know.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yes. You never know who that stranger is that you could even just throw a smile to. Mm-hmm. Even in that regard, you never know what you can do to help others. Absolutely. When you are following your own truth.
Absolutely.
And expressing yourself,
mm-hmm.
fully.
Yes, fully.
Fully.
Yeah, so I'd like to,
let's get into it.
Yeah.
Tell us.
I just think it's great, the time that we're living in right now. We're having a real coming together of this emotional, spiritual, deeper understanding that we feel and that we felt from a young age. And there's a lot of really awesome words and descriptions and concepts out there that we're now exploring and understanding. Okay, like, it's, you know, in a scientific way, you know, it's quote unquote validating what the ancients have always known, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just like it because it's like food for both the left and the right brain out there. And you know, the food for the left brain when it comes to sound is that, like, sound, I wrote this in an article recently that, I mean, realistically, sound is the most powerfully transformative vibration that we have access to in the human experience. Because of the density at which we exist, sound interacts with more sensory input than any other kind of sensory input that we get. Like, you know, for example, just on kind of a physical level, like our eyes can only see a certain spectrum of the light spectrum, you know, like there's these different markers. I think they're called angstroms or something, right? Mm-hmm. Certain amount of angstroms. And we can hear like 10,000 more individual levels of sound. And sound is the first sense that we develop when we're a fetus at 3 months in our womb. And it's an incredibly important thing for us to experience from that point on. A guy named Dr. Tamadis, or Tamadi, he's from, I believe, France. He found a way to recreate a mother's voice in the womb. And he, because he was finding that all these different things from hearing loss to even autism were a direct result of the exposure to sound from the time of a fetus, and he developed this technique that was so powerful that it literally like turned a 180 with some like kids with autism.
Wow.
Listening to their mother's voice through this recording for 20 minutes and then just taking off their headphones and just looking like they just woke up for the first time and like looking at their mom and saying mommy and going and like hugging. I know. Wow. it's like it gets emotional, but I bring that up because it's just such an important experience for us. And sound healing works through very powerful laws. When you were talking about sound healing, we're talking about coherent versus incoherent frequencies. So as you said earlier, we're basically just walking masses of vibration. And whenever we have certain vibrations that within our body, both with our organs and certain systems, like the Heart Math Institute found that there's a heart rate variability where the heart will change different beats per minute according to your, it actually emanates like a frequency too. Mm-hmm. And so it changes beats per minute and emanates a measurable frequency where when we're experiencing negative emotions that are, you know, emotions that are throwing us out of whack, basically, we can measure the frequency change. So we can measure the vibrational change according to each emotion. And so sound healing works through the mechanism of coherency, where a coherent wave is something that's in balance, or it's one that is ordered, consistent, clear, and in phase. In phase means operating at the same frequency or wavelength. That's from Tuning the Human Biofield by Eileen McCusick. And so when we work with sound healing, what we're doing is we're taking coherent waves and then we're playing them in such a way so that they're just a little bit more powerful than the incoherent wave patterns. And that works through something called entrainment, where basically the strongest vibration wins.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see that in our lives.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. It's like, absolutely.
When we're in a group of people and whatever vibration is like shining the brightest, or sinking the lowest, like that's usually the one that most people are starting to sink into as well, or rise up to, right?
Yes. Whatever is the strongest.
Absolutely.
And typically love is the strongest vibration. And so when you have a shiny light being, that will always win.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another important point when it comes to sound is that, so not only do we create coherent frequencies, right? And coherent means it's meant to be in order with the natural state at which, you know, it's meant to exist. So when we use our voice, there's a coherency when we are in our true resonance. And then when we use certain instruments like flutes or crystal bowls or these various things that create these kind of these nice straightforward wave patterns, acoustic wave patterns, and also what are called overtones. And what it does is it sends that into our energy fields and in our bodies, and our body just kind of in its intelligence just knows what to do with it. It starts realigning. It starts rebalancing. It's incredible what happens.
I always say, you know, we can always trust that the body always knows what to do. We just need to get out of the way sometimes.
It is so true.
Yeah.
So true. That is a wonderful insight. The body is so intelligent.
Way more intelligent than us stupid humans. Not to be mean to us, lovely humans.
It's the stupid human mind.
It is.
You know, that wants to try to just control and dissect mm-hmm. and when the body just knows. It knows exactly what it needs to do. This woman I've been working with recently just called me earlier on in this trip, actually, because she has had issues with her ribs. I think there was some separation, and it was in conjunction with some stuff with her vertebrae. We just started doing sound therapy together. We've done two sessions. And she called me because she was working, and she fractured something, or what she something happened with the cartilage in between these ribs, these specific ones. And when she went to her chiropractor about it, he said that this is actually good. Like, this has readjusted in such a way that you might not actually have to see me anymore.
Wow.
And it was directly related to the chakra system that we had worked on in the last couple of sessions, that when I was with her, it seemed where most of the blockage was.
Mm. Wow.
And it
of
was
course.
Just like, yeah. And so, you know, just these, the body, and not only the body, but like, what is that? She called in an experience, right, of how she quote unquote hurt herself. To allow that to realign, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's so powerful, and it's so beyond really our comprehension. What I just wanted to focus on there, though, is that there are laws at work.
Yes.
Like, this is something that is measurable, that it is it's got mounds and mounds of evidence from the beginning of time.
Right.
And it's such a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to dive into, because all of us love sound in
yes.
our own way.
Yes.
Music or whatever it is, this is all accessible.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. We're all just materialized vibration. So why wouldn't vibration, the right vibrations, the healing vibrations, set us just on that right path?
Absolutely.
You know, and then like a domino effect, the body just takes over and knows what to do because that wave has been set.
Absolutely.
Like a dropping a puddle, a pebble in a pond, and watching that ripple
and just watching it propagate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's such a beautiful image. Yeah. And sound is just, it's just so mysterious too. You know, it's like, I got the image when you were just talking about that. I was reading in this, in Tuning the Human Biofield again, and with Eileen McCusick, and she was talking about how sound is not a vibration of air. It's a wave it's like an electromagnetic process involving the rapid assembly and disassembly of geometric figures of molecules. So basically, there's some unseen information that spreads through like space, and it arranges molecules in a geometric pattern. We know this when we look at something
cymatics.
Called cymatics.
Yeah.
So it's like, this isn't like a thing that's passing through. It's like some unseen information that tells the molecules to like arrange in this way. And what it does is we hear that, like that we pick it up with our ear.
Yeah.
It's like
the harmony that creates the structure and the pattern.
Right.
Yeah.
I kind of get like this vision of like whenever we make a sound, it's like we're calling on a shape that is from the kind of infinite, like everything, right? The kind of that infinite pool of all information. And we just call on that, you know, energetically, and then it comes out.
Right. And when you just said that, what it made me think of is the symbols for the chakras.
Exactly.
They're all different shapes.
Yes.
Depending on their vibration, right? Because each chakra has a different vibration.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every piece of geometry has a sound associated with it.
Yeah.
Which I was told to explore, apparently.
Exactly. Good. Yeah. So I want to talk about this chakra thing. So a couple weeks ago, I think it was, you guys, I if you haven't heard me before, I am a QHHT practitioner. And what that is quantum healing hypnosis technique. It's a technique that Dolores Cannon created to put people into a past life regression and then call on their higher self for healing. It's a healing technique above all. So I put Brian out a couple weeks ago. into his trance for his past life regression. And he had an amazing experience, which of course, if you haven't guessed, is related to sound.
Yeah.
So tell them a little bit about what you experienced and what you learned about the throat chakra.
Yeah. It was such a profound experience. You know, obviously we don't have a lot of time, so I'll just, I'll kind of, you know, synopsis it. Mm-hmm. But I went back to a past life, where I was, in a tribe that was in dire straits as a result of, the ice age, basically. Mm-hmm. A sudden onset of where they were at, of just never ending snow, it seemed like. And wow, it was just such a, you know, just feeling it and being there, right? Mm-hmm. And just this visceral kind of experience. And what happened is that my that life was telling me about how this particular tribe had been gifted the knowledge, many different knowledges, types of knowledge from the star people, right? These people that came down after a great cataclysm and gave them this knowledge. And one of the things they gave them was the knowledge of sound. And when you asked me how, I talked about how these star people had built these big monuments to anchor in a specific vibration on the planet, you asked how they were built, and I said sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard this, like these, it, what I got is this image of people singing a frequency into the stone, and then it would lift up from the ground and they can move it, and they would go, and I got this download later after recalling it, was that they would do this alternating thing where there's so many of them so they could keep this continuous tone, and there was two tones. And what the trippy part about it is that, like, I heard the higher tone and I sang it, right? Because mm-hmm. you asked me to sing it, and I have mm-hmm. a recording of me singing this song, at least, is because the songs, I think, was passed down as like a representation of that technology. I don't think it was the actual tone, but I hear this song that was, so when they would sing it in the tribe, it was sung by the women, and then I heard this low part that I, like, it's beyond like my low register, but I could hear it, just that kind of that all sound, you know. And those two wave patterns came together somehow and created this, you know, this ability to just lift these giant stones.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up singing the song that was passed down to our people. And I remember talking about in that past life how when I was a child, I used to try to sing into stones to make them fly. And it was just like having that memory, you know, and like feeling it as if it was a memory from this lifetime, and feeling that childlike, a bit, you know, want to like make something fly with my voice.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening in that was the tribe was basically had stopped singing, because as the snows came, they got split up. They were in survival mode. Some of us were starving or having a hard time. And so we stopped singing. And the most powerful emotional moment that I had in experiencing that past life was, I mean, I died. I went through the death scene. I got, I won't go into that, but basically, you know, I was out hunting. I got lost. I got in encounter with a big creature that I tried to take down and didn't do so well at. but the tribe found me. My siblings found me and killed the beast, brought it back, and they ended up finding a place where they could make fire, and they feasted. And they ended up singing
mm-hmm.
in mourning, but also in celebration of, you know, having food. And they had sang, this was like the first time they had sang in who knows how many years. And when I felt that it was just, I mean, I started crying, you know, yeah. And it was just like, it was so visceral and so deep.
It was extremely powerful.
Yeah. So later on in the session, you asked to talk to my subconscious, my higher self,
mm-hmm.
and you asked questions. And one of them was like, why was I shown that past life, and regarding sound specifically, and why it's so important. And at one point, I was told that it's so important for us to open our throat chakras right now as a human species, because we are experiencing a collective evolution that is spiritual, mental, emotional, you know, in nature. I mean, it's the whole thing. And what's happening is that we're bringing up energy from the lower chakras to be like alchemized, right? I don't know if that's the right word, but
transmuted.
Thank you. So to be transmuted, and also we're bringing down these higher energies to be integrated into our lower density body and the throat. The heart's kind of the center point where all those that action happens.
Where the power
throat,
is,
right? Exactly, and. But the throat chakra is like is the tuner of that. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it allows us to take those energies. I heard not that long ago, I can't remember from where, but the fifth chakra, the throat chakra, is like the pressure valve for the lower chakras. So making sound in such a way that allows us to bring energy out of those lower chakras that's stagnant and to help dissipate it is super important. What's equally important is as we're getting spiritually awakened and we're getting these huge downloads from spirit, the voice is so important for us to use to help tune that and focus it in such a way as to maximize the potential, but also to allow us to not get so spun out. Because I mean, there's some powerful stuff going. And that's what I felt and said in that session was how important that work is to open the voice and to tune that chakra.
Yes. And what's interesting, so I'm I'll call myself a Law of One scholar because I've been studying this book now for years and years and years, and Brian's never read it, but he keeps coming out with all this information that's exactly what this book says. Mm-hmm. And in the Law of One, they say that the throat chakra is the significator, which is exactly what you just explained. Yes.
Yep. We're tuning in.
Yes, we are.
Awesome. Well, that was pretty much the main crux of that. Oh, and then I was given the assignment to listen to geometric shapes.
Yes.
And just to listen. Mm-hmm. 'Cause they all have sound. And I was basically given a homework assignment to listen to those and just be aware of what that is, the congruency between shapes and sound.
Right. And it's gradually coming, isn't it? As the days progress, you're seeing more and more.
Yeah, I got home from that experience, and there was like this perfect triangle stone sitting outside my, like by this little pond that I have that I've never seen before. And it was just like, here, like just in case, like if you need something physical,
listen to this. So, Brian, I would love it if you would sing for everybody the star song.
Oh, goodness.
That came through.
Okay, there's two of them, right? Because there was the one that my family sang.
Right.
And then there was the one that we sang that represented the stone lifting.
You pick.
I'm going to pick the one that I heard that my family was singing.
Okay.
Okay. Hey na ne ta ke da da ne I ne, he da ka ne ka e da he ne I ne, re ra ta ka ne ha ta he ne I ne, ne ya ta ka te ya da ne I ne, tu a ta kang ke ta ke ka he ta ke, se kan ka ke kan ta ke ke nde. Sri kanke kanda e ka kunde hike, Sri ata kanke o dei 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 yum.
Wow.
Something like that.
Something like that. Well, you guys, I say we are going to leave you with that. Let that vibration settle down into your system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you guys want to keep in contact with me, because I'd love to hear you, and I'm going to be moving down to Scottsdale, Arizona, to be with this here lady at the end of the year. I am also, though, offering vocal empowerment coaching remotely, and I do have a website. It's called humanityharmonized.com, and this is a really exciting announcement for me because I have a podcast coming up where we're going to be talking about sound and vibrational medicine, conscious music. I'm also going to have a blog up there, And it's just like, it's just starting to really pick up that momentum. And I would love for you all to join me in that endeavor, because the Humanity Harmonized Project, like, feels like I have a Facebook group that I'm going to have that's, you know, I call the Humanity Harmonized Coalition, because I'd really love to just like create a network of people that are really interested in exploring how sound can just profoundly change their life individually and help us evolve as a human species, because it's so important and it's so powerful and it's so easily accessible.
So easy.
I mean, it's simple. It might be difficult sometimes to get past those first things, and it's just such a beautiful journey that doesn't require like so much of us, you know?
Right.
It's really beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys, get in touch with Brian.
HumanityHarmonized.com. You can email me, too, at Brian@HumanityHarmonized.com.
With a Y, B-R-Y-A-N.
B-R-Y-A-N at HumanityHarmonized.com. And you also find me on Facebook under Brian Anthony Phoenix. I'll have that up soon.
Awesome. And so, just like Brandon, you guys, I'm going to give my co-host the opportunity to play a song for us today. So, Brian, what song would you like to play?
Ooh, we're going to play this song called Tus Pies, otherwise known as Tus Pies, because we didn't realize it was Spanish. At first.
As ignorant Americans. I have to admit.
This is by Naco Bear and Medicine for the People. And it's such a beautiful song. And it's also been a song that has been beautiful for us and has helped us actually kind of carry through some crunchiness that we've experienced. So it's been a healing song for
Very
us.
Healing
so
song.
Along the same subject of healing with sound, we're going to heal with Tus Pies by Naco Bear and Medicine for the People.
We love you all.
We love you.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'll be the earth to ground you from the chaos all around. I'll be the home you return to. Yeah. I can be your middle ground, and I will serve as a reminder. If you jump, you will not fall. Go on and spread those wings of reason. We are water after all. And if you call on me, I'll come running like a coyote. 'Cause we're pillars indeed. A lighthouse when you're out to sea. A beacon when direction's all I need. A compass if you know what I mean. Drunk on that nectar of all that you are to me. And you can trust me and my instincts, 'cause they are like that of a bird. I am loyal, I will feed you, sing you songs you never heard. Who wants to wear the hat this morning? I reckon neither of us cares. 'Cause there is more to life than leading, yeah. And I would follow you, I swear. And if you call on me, I'll come running like a coyote. 'Cause we're pillars indeed. A lighthouse when you're out to sea. A beacon when direction's all I need. A compass if you know what I mean. Drunk on that nectar of all that you are to me. share my fire. Proper way to pay respects. Lay tobacco down in gratitude, yeah. One thing I cannot neglect. And there are eyes that watch us closely. And there's a story they will tell. There's a war between fact and fiction. We have no time to dispel. So familiar yet so foreign. Polaroids say so much. Bring me ceremony, parallels. I'll bring vetiver and sagebrush. And if you call on me, I'll come running like a coyote. 'Cause we're pillars indeed. A lighthouse when you're out to sea. A beacon when direction's all I need. A compass if you know what I mean. Drunk on that nectar of all that you are to me. And I love your feet for how they found me. And how they walked upon four winds. Be my deer, I'll be your meadow. Come graze upon bare skin.